If you could turn in your Bibles, if you have a Bible, to Mark chapter 8. We're going to be camping out there for a little bit this morning. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. You can check the text will be on the screen. Today is a once-off message, so it's not part of an extended series. And so let me begin by this. Imagine with me, just imagine for a moment, a politician. I know that's not difficult to imagine. In our context, in our day and age, around the world, we have some famous ones. Let me rephrase that, some infamous ones. But imagine for a minute a politician standing on a stage addressing a crowd saying this: if you're going to vote for me, you are voting to lose your comforts, to lose your homes. You're voting for higher taxes, lower wages. Who's with me? The crowd would be bewildered, if not booing him off stage. Why would anyone market themselves that way? But instead of a politician, let's suppose the leader was a leader of a great expedition, a leader of a courageous expedition, forging his way through high and dangerous mountain territory because of the need of an urgent appeal on the other side, where people have been trapped by a landslide. And so this great expedition is, he's leading people to a people who've been cut off from the normal world, and they're in desperate need of supplies. And the great leader of this expedition says this: if you want to go with me, if you want to go any further, you may have to leave your packs behind. From here on, the path is going to get steeper and more difficult, and you're going to have to leave your personal stuff behind. It's even possible that if you go with me, you may not make it back alive. Now, both were a call to sacrificing personal goods, maybe even your own life. But the sound of the second appeal, we could rally to that, right? We could rally to that because of its context. One is a corrupt politician, no doubt. The other is a worthy cause, a people who are stranded, who are desperate for need. And so the call to radical, sacrificial commitment makes perfect sense depending on the urgency of the issue, depending on the importance of the task. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the urgency of the matter, and I want to talk about the importance of the task of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, there's one thing that's absolutely true. When we consider the ministry of Jesus Christ, there's one thing that we could never accuse him of, and that is false advertising. And I want to show you a good example of that this morning. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. The title of this message is Uncomfortable, as you saw. Verse 34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We all know that the first role of a successful marketing campaign is to give consumers what they want. If they want bigger burgers, supersize them. If they want designer bottled water, we'll give it to you in 6 flavors. If you want a TV station with hundreds of channels, we'll give you thousands of channels. Give the consumer what they want. You've got to keep the consumer satisfied. You've got to modify your product, adapt your message to meet the needs or the demands of the people. If you want to build market share, if you want to get ahead of the competition, you need to scratch where it itches. But as we've just seen, this isn't the way of Jesus. Jesus is not interested in that at all. This is not the way of Christ. In fact, what we read here is that Jesus actually made it very difficult for people to join his movement. It was very difficult to join and very easy to leave. Seems like we've got it the wrong way around. As Christians and churches today, we're trying to make it as easy as possible to join this movement. And then once they join, we make it incredibly hard for them to leave. Jesus had it the other way around. When we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at the teaching of Jesus, we see that it is radically countercultural. This form of Christianity that really reflects Christ is not reflecting the culture at all. It is countercultural. What we see when Jesus describes Christianity, it is a far cry from what I would call Donald Trump Christianity. And thankfully so. But therein is a problem. Why is there even such a thing as Donald Trump Christianity? And my submission to you is that we have sold out. The church in many ways has sold out to the cries of consumerism to make it as comfortable as possible, to make it as easy as possible, and to take the narrow way of Jesus and to broaden it so that we don't even have Jesus in the picture anymore. Russell Moore says this. He says, when Christianity starts to reflect the culture, whether the culture be a political agenda or fashion trends or recreational activities, Christianity like that will only last as long as it is useful to its host. Because at its root, it is idolatry. And the reality is that people turn from their idols when they stop sending rain. When we stop giving them what they want, when it becomes a little bit uncomfortable, when we stop sending rain, stroking, making them feel at home and comfortable, you know, you belong here. You can live your best life now. And so what do we see when we read these words of Jesus? First thing we see is the cost of being a disciple. The cost of being a disciple. Verse 34, if anyone, notice the invitation's broad. Yes, there is an exclusivity. Jesus is the only way, but there is also an inclusivity. He says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Take up a crucifixion. Take up a Roman cross. Take up a horrific death. Take up a cross and follow me. Jesus is clear here. He says there are two things that define a true disciple. Two things that define the Christian. One is self-denial. Deny yourself. And the other is sacrifice. This is the exact opposite of what the world says we are to do today. The world says, no, believe in yourself. Not deny yourself. I mean, gosh. Believe in yourself. No, it's not enough that just someone else believes in you. You've also got to believe in you. And not only that, but also you can be whatever you want to be. And so, if you feel uncomfortable, then you don't have to do it. The whole goal of the world system is self-actualization. In other words, only do something if you feel like doing it. Only do it if you're comfortable. I want to just say, if you're a Christian here today, that narrative is invading our lives. Just think with me for a minute. Imagine doing family like that. Imagine raising your children with that. Make your bed if you feel like it. Imagine, take a shower, but only when you're comfortable. Wash the dishes if you believe in clean dishes. This is what it's come down to. Only if you're comfortable is the overarching gospel of the world that is invading the church. And yet, here's the irony, and yet in this narrative of only do it if you're comfortable, I think when we look around us, what we see is that our generation is either angry or anxious. Why? It's meant to be comfortable. Everything in your life is, everything's been done for you. And yet we are an angry people or an anxious people. And I want to submit to us that comfort leads either to anger or to anxiety. Because we've got far too much choice. And no backbone. No character. We've just had our egos stroked our whole lives. And so when we look at the gospel, the true call to follow Jesus, is a call to self-denial, not self-fulfillment. The message of Jesus here is deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And we know that a cross is something that was incredibly uncomfortable. Yes, there were innumerable benefits and blessings from the work of the cross. But the actual bearing of a cross, the carrying of a cross, came for Jesus, and it will come for us with much discomfort and disdain. Taking up our cross and following Jesus is not going to be plain sailing. It's going to be a bumpy, narrow road. In fact, it'll be a Calvary road. An uncomfortable road. C.S. Lewis, the great apologist, said this: I didn't go to religion to make me happy. I knew a bottle of port would do that. If you want a religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity. Now you see how far we've come. And so I want to just highlight three things that come out of this in terms of the cost. And then I want to finish with a final point. The first one is this, and I'll move fairly quickly. Uncomfortable truth. In verse 38, he says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation." Jesus is saying here that we are to be committed not only to his life, his person, his lordship, but also to his words, his teaching. And if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, it's going to be uncomfortable because we've got to hold to uncomfortable truths. We've got to hold to what he says about how we do our work, how we live out our desires, how we live out our sexuality, our gender, our marriage, our money, our time, our talents. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be a follower of Jesus, is to submit to the teachings of Jesus. Adam McCall says this, he says, "We must put away our convenient notions of God, the one who always agrees with us, the one who always favors our nation, our political agenda, the one who feeds us candy and never vegetables." You see, the way and the teachings of Jesus are not politically correct today. And neither are they cool. To obey Christ is going to mean discomfort. To hold to what Jesus says is going to be uncomfortable. The only other option is this: if you want to avoid persecution, all you need to do is compromise truth. But that really isn't an option for a true disciple. You can form your own Jesus if you like. Like the quote said, you can have your own convenient notions of who God is. And there are many that are doing it today. There's either a political Jesus or there is a progressive Jesus. The progressive Jesus cares more about your feelings than about truth. But it really isn't the true Jesus. And I want to say to us that if we have nothing, if we don't fight for truth, we have nothing to offer the world. Because we're not cool, and we're not meant to be on the spectrum of uber cool or comfortable. We are to be heralds of truth. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, we all wear jeans, and we have got smartphones, and we've got nice lights and cameras and nice music, and hey, we're going to do the best job we can, but that's not our goal. That's not our mandate. Our mandate is to present Christ and Him crucified and to hold fast to truth, and it's going to be uncomfortable, and we're going to get mocked, and we're going to get ridiculed, and we're going to get persecuted. That's what it means to take up your cross. Firstly, about truth. Secondly, uncomfortable community. Verse 34, it says, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them. We see here that there are two groups that Jesus is speaking to. The groups are the crowd and the disciples, which are you. It's quite easy to be part of the crowd. To be part of the crowd is easy and convenient. To be part of the crowd, you can come and go as you please. No one's going to notice. You can blend in or check out. But to be a disciple is to be known. To be a disciple is to be known and to know others. It's impossible to blend in. It's impossible to check out without being known. And this is an incredible danger in our kind of convenient consumer Christianity today, where I can be part of a church but not be known. It's impossible. If you think of the disciples, if you think of true followership, of true community, to be a disciple means to be in real relationship with Jesus and his body. If you're in real relationship with Jesus, then you will love what Jesus loves, and Jesus loves the church. He gave his life up for the church. But you might be thinking, oh, but it's not... it's just a bit uncomfortable. Exactly. That's what it's going to take. Deny yourself, he says. The church is not meant to be a homogenous, comfortable club. The church is meant to be multi-generational, multicultural, a community of people from all sorts of backgrounds, warts and all. The whole point of it is that it's meant to be a discomfortable, uncomfortable community that we belong to, that we are part of, that we are participating in. You see, the danger of me church or I church or whatever you want to call it, the danger of me church or I church is that eventually, if all it is people just like you, that think like you, that act like you, the people that you love to hang out with, that's the only people you committed to, those are the only people you like to hang out with, is eventually me church leads to no church. Because why do you even need to go? When everybody just looks like you, thinks like you, talks like you, acts like you. The church is more than just a friendly support group. It's a community where we feel uncomfortable for the sake of Christ and for the glory of His name. J.C. Ryle said this. He said, a cheap Christianity that offends nobody, requires no sacrifice, and costs nothing is worth nothing. The third thing we see here is uncomfortable mission. In verse 35, Jesus says this, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's. Have you ever seen that? That's incredible. In the first one, it says that if you're ashamed of me and my words, not just Jesus, but also his teachings, and here it says, for my sake and the gospel's. Whoever loses his life, whoever denies himself, takes up his cross, for Christ's sake and the gospel. There is a mission to be done. There is a link here between the person of Jesus and the ongoing work of Jesus. Today, Jesus is expecting here disciples to make significant sacrifices, not just for him, but for the sake of the church, the gospel, the advance of the gospel. And so again, one of our greatest challenges is that we are creatures of comfort. I am concerned that we no longer think that it's wise, listen to me carefully, we think that it's no longer wise to take risks for the glory of God. We think it's not wise to go into difficult places and plant churches. I mean, since when do Christians think like that? Since when do Christians not go to unreached people groups because it's difficult? Church, we've become soft. We'll only go if it's comfortable. I mean, do they even have single origin coffee, you know, there? This morning, some Christians got up to go to church in a context where they may never see their families again. There are places and spaces in our world today where there is real persecution. And I'm not inviting you to even that. I'm inviting you to even just be present in your suburb in Port Elizabeth. I mean, I'm not even asking you to go to deepest, darkest Africa. I'm not even asking you to go to the Middle East. And there are people that need to go. Let me just say this. If we are governed by comfort, if comfort is our idol, how is God going to speak to some of us to go and plant those churches? Because we've got to do it. But some of us are just struggling even to show up to church in Port Elizabeth. Because this consumer mindset has invaded our lives. Ah, the service is too late. Ah, the service is too early. The service is too long. So let's just shorten it by 15 minutes. Then we can have tea. It's too formal. Well, bring your flags. No, it's too boring. Well, wait till you hear our band. The teaching is too restrictive. Ah, you can pick and choose. No. What are we doing if we do that? We are buying into the culture. We are buying into the nauseating narcissism of our day, where it's actually all about us. In a world where everyone's clamoring for likes, we have forgotten the mission of the church. That it's an uncomfortable mission. And that's okay. It's actually okay. Brett McCracken says this, occasional or when convenient appearances at church will hardly shape us. But showing up weekly and immersing yourself in a church's not about me orientation can do wonders for your spiritual sanity in an unwise age. I end with this. My final point is the cost of not being a disciple. Firstly, the cost of being a disciple. Secondly, the cost of not being a disciple. Jesus says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, Of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. The cost of discipleship, church, is high, but the cost of not being a disciple is even higher. Verse 36, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? You see, every culture is going to point us to something. Every culture is going to say something like this. If you have this, or if you have that, or if you acquire this, or if you achieve that, then you will be satisfied. In other words, you're nobody until you gain either respect or a successful career which brings you money and status and power. In other words, your identity is based on your performance. And Jesus says to us, that'll never work. Because even if you gain the whole world, it's meaningless. You will forfeit your soul. If you gain the whole world, it won't be big enough, he's saying. It's not big enough to satisfy your true longings. Everything, all that the world offers you cannot satisfy the human heart. Our hearts were made for God. And they will only rest. Just think about it logically. Think about the richest people, the most famous people. They are often the most miserable people. They've got everything at their fingertips. Are they comfortable? Extremely. Are they happy? I doubt it. The evidence is there. And so following Jesus is going to cost us. But not following Jesus will cost you even more. And so, church, Covenant Grace, you know our vision statement. Our vision statement is we're a gospel-centered community on mission with Jesus. Here's my submission to us. For our COVID world, for our COVID reality, and we won't do it in print, but it's there just as a reminder. An uncomfortable gospel-centered community on mission with Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would do a deep work in our hearts. We pray that you would give us a fresh vision of the privilege and joy of following Jesus. Of knowing true grace and true joy. Knowing forgiveness of sin. Knowing peace with God. None of these things the world can give us. Lord, we know that it's not an easy road. You made it very clear. It's going to be a difficult path, a narrow road that leads to life. But it is life. It's real life. It's true life. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are leading us on a great expedition. Through a difficult journey, we may even lose our lives. But in losing it, Jesus, you say we actually save it. We give it up for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel. And in doing so, we actually find meaning and true purpose. Instead of the nauseating narcissism of everything being about us, help us to see the joy in loving others more than ourselves. Help us see the adventurous invitation of Jesus to follow him, and to make disciples of all the nations. Lord, we thank you for this reminder. I pray that it would comfort those who are disturbed, and I pray it would disturb those who are comfortable. Lord, we are here for you and for your glory and for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.